This week we continue our Lenten sermon series, God on the Move. Last week we watched Jesus move into the desert and the temptations from Satan. And this week we will travel with Jesus as he embarks on the road to Jerusalem, facing new and greater obstacles on the way. My sermon title for this morning is God Moves Past All Obstacles. Or if you're a little hipper and you want it to be a little jazzy, can't stop, won't stop. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, open your word by your Holy Spirit so that we, like Abraham, may believe your promises to us, and that we, like chicks underneath their mother's wings, might find comfort in your word and solidarity with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can't stop, won't stop. It has been a rough week. We watched in horror as 157 persons were killed on a flight from Ethiopia to Kenya on a Boeing 737. We witnessed the lengths that some rich and famous parents will go to ensure that their children, no matter how unworthy, get into the colleges and universities of their choice. We heard surprisingly very little about the bomb cyclone that unleashed snow and high winds on the Midwest and Great Lakes region, leading to historic floods in Nebraska. And we heard the news that 49 were killed in a New Zealand mosque, actually two New Zealand mosques, by an avowed white supremacist. Lent is a season that allows us Christians to exercise our theological imagination. It allows us to draw closer to the prophetic work of Jesus and to be shaken out of our stupor. It should strengthen our commitment to God's justice and mercy in the world and alert us to the obstacles standing in our way. But I must admit that it is sometimes difficult to move with Jesus in a world with so many seemingly insurmountable obstacles. It is difficult to avoid feeling helpless in the face of mechanical errors that cost lives. It is difficult to continue to believe that the hard work of regular low-income and middle-class children will lead to a fair shot at admittance into the top universities and colleges. It is almost impossible to avoid feeling helpless in the face of catastrophic weather events that seem to be getting more and more large and happening closer and closer together, causing more harm all around the world. And it is getting more and more painful to witness the rise in racial and religious violence that seems both random and strangely precise in its execution. It seems that the peace and wholeness of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to usher in is drawing further and further away, and that the road to peace is strewn with so many obstacles that many of us may be tempted to hop off the train altogether and set up camp in a gated community by ourselves. But as people of the promise, we must continue to move forward along this Lenten road, this road that leads to redemption. We must move past the many obstacles and all of the pain and horror that they cause, moving with God who is in perpetual motion. This morning's reading puts us on the road with Jesus headed to Jerusalem. It should not surprise us that as Jesus progresses, major obstacles begin to stand in the way. The most obvious are the members of the political and religious establishments who feel threatened by him. In our text, the spiritual leaders warn Jesus that the political leader wants to kill him. The Pharisees who have opposed Jesus in the past are now seemingly reaching out to help him avoid certain death as he moves towards Herod's territory. Surely this was an obstacle that Jesus had to take seriously. For this is the same Herod Antipas who had his cousin John beheaded, and the son of Herod the Great, who in his ravenous desire to sit on his throne unopposed, killed his wife, his brother-in-law, three sons, 300 military leaders, and countless infants in his effort to stamp out the Christ child at his birth. This was no Herod to mess with, because death dealing was in his blood. But Jesus' determination is clear. He would keep moving forward. He would reach his destination. He would press on toward the goal. For Jesus, there was no turning back, even though the road he traveled was dangerous, strewn with booby traps and murderous leaders. This is Jesus' message to us this morning. Persevere. Keep moving forward. Keep going despite the obstacles that we will face. No matter the obstacles put in our way this Lenten season, we are to keep moving forward, keep plodding along, and keep facing our obstacles with resolve and determination to move with Jesus in and to the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how your Lenten disciplines have been going thus far, but your pastor is struggling. Every day it takes more effort than the previous day to stay on track. I thought this was supposed to get easier, but it seems to me that each day brings a new obstacle, and each day it is harder and harder for me to stay on course. Each day I find myself more and more exhausted at the end of the day because I have worked so hard all day, hanging on by a thread, that by the end of the day, I am exhausted. Denying oneself is hard work, but Jesus gives us the key to pressing on in the face of obstacles and fatigue. He tells us to recognize and call out the foxes in our lives that would attempt to prevent us from journeying with him. In this text, when Jesus responds to the warning from the Pharisees, he says to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work." In other words, you go and tell that sly, unprincipled, destructive, so-called king that I am going to continue my ministry of healing and restoration today, tomorrow, and continue my journey to Jerusalem, where it will be completed. Jesus makes clear to both messengers and sender that neither obstacles nor threats will thwart his work. He makes clear that he has every intention of finishing what he has begun. And this is good news for us and instruction, because like Jesus, we are going to face many obstacles as we try to live faithful lives. There will always be an illness, a loss of a loved one, a natural disaster, machine failure, hate-filled murderers, or personal temptations that will make us believe that we cannot continue forward. There will always be persons who claim that we are crazy for believing in Christ and trying to live a holy life. There will always be disasters that cause us to question the very presence of God in the midst of our catastrophe. There will always be haters on the road attempting to get us to turn back to the life of isolation, addiction, or even purposelessness that we traversed before we met our living Savior. But Jesus is telling us to tell those foxes, in the words of Sean Puffy Combs, that we can't stop, won't stop. It is in the times that we face obstacles that we must become even more resolute to stay on the journey. The other night, I was watching this show on the Discovery Channel that showcased individuals with rare and painful medical conditions. One had a condition that caused her limbs to become deformed and eventually fall off. Another had a growth that caused her face to be malformed. Still another had a condition that caused her hands and her arms to grow to astronomical sizes. As I watched these three ladies traverse life with their very bodies behaving as obstacles, I knew that though the barriers that we face may be daunting, they may be frightening, and they may even be life-threatening, they are all surmountable. I watch these ladies not only survive, but thrive in the face of prejudice, physical pain, and persistent isolation. I knew that if these ladies could tell the foxes in their lives that they were going to continue on despite the obstacles, that we must keep on keeping on. We must in our heads play the mantra that I can't stop, won't stop. If these people can get past not being able to be fully employed, if they can get past being stared at as they walk down the street, if they can get past not being able to go to school because of their medical condition, we certainly can do more than what we do. We certainly can take on the attitude that we can't stop and that we won't stop because too much is at stake. As I was reading this scripture all week and trying to figure out where in the world is Jesus going to lead us this week, I could not help but be troubled, because Jesus does what Jesus seems to do over and over in the scripture. He doesn't stop and leave well enough alone. Jesus does not stop at likening Herod to a fox. He goes on to liken himself to a hen who gathers her chicks beneath her wings for protection. This image troubled me all week, because why would Jesus place himself and us in such a precarious position? Why not be a bear protecting her cubs, or a lioness providing for her pride, or a shark patrolling the sea? Why, Jesus, must you be a hen trying to face off with a fox? I was tormented by this imagery because we all know that a hen is no match for a fox. You don't have to have chickens and a chicken coop to know that foxes prey on hens. I did a little bit of reading on foxes and chickens this week because this imagery drove me crazy. And I found out that foxes prey on hens because hens are an easy target. I also found out that when a fox gets into the hen house, the fox may kill several chickens. They may kill several hens, but will only take one. A fox will go into a hen house, wreak all manner of havoc, killing more hens than the fox could actually eat, and then leave. I said, That seals it. Jesus, I do not like this image of the fox and the hens. You're going to have to be more than a hen if you are going to be our Savior this morning, Jesus. We need more than a hen to face off with all of these foxes that we face in the light. You don't have to be the brightest light on Broadway to know that in the battle between foxes and hens, there will almost certainly be chicken for dinner. But I heard a story that came out of northern France just this week. Praise the Lord, Holy Spirit. As I was traversing through this text and looking into foxes and hens, I found out that in northern France, there were a group of hens who faced off against a foolish fox and won. I found out that in northern France, at a commercial hen house that produced eggs, organic eggs and chickens, that a fox had gotten into the hen house. And in the morning, when the worker went to take a look at the chickens and to check on those hens, they were surprised to find a fox lying in the hen house with his body pecked out and no longer alive. It seemed that the chickens had gotten together and decided, not today, fox. Can't stop, won't stop. You came into the wrong hen house today. These chickens, these hens got together. They decided that they weren't going to try to fight this fox by themselves, one after the other, and succumb to the overpowering abilities of the fox, but that they would all get together and one peck at a time, one chicken at a time, peck at this fox until the fox was rendered, I hate to say it, fox, dead. In this case, for once, we find that if these chickens, if these hens under the wing of this hen would gather together, that they can overcome the fox. In Jesus' case, the chicks scattered, and he faced the cross alone. But our French poultry friends have proven that we are not at the mercy of the evil in this world. We are not at the mercy of richer, more advantaged persons. We are not at the mercy of a climate descending towards destruction. We are not even at the mercy of murderous hate mongers armed with semi-automatic weapons. Because if we all band together, if we all make up our minds to face our obstacles as one indivisible unit, we, even us little chicks, can be victorious against all that would stand in our way. We can focus our attention on the good of this week and not just the bad. We can focus on overcoming rather than obstacles. We can look for the rays of hope all around us, like all of the young people who gathered together to walk out of school to demand that adults would do something about climate change. We can look at all of those who have gathered together to comfort the families of those who lost their lives and insist that Boeing get to the bottom line cause of what caused these two recent plane crashes. We can rejoice that finally the inequities within our educational system that starts at kindergarten and culminates in higher education has been put on Front Street and can finally be addressed. We can rejoice that the scourge of hate and white supremacy and immigrant demagoguery that has been met with love, repudiation, and a vow to see newcomers as family, not outsiders. we have and will continue to take our cues from Jesus and the lessons of some brave French hens and face our obstacles by drawing closer together rather than scattering apart. We can go on this journey through Lent and beyond with a can't stop, won't stop attitude, because we are on this journey together. Amen.